Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. We've had some amazing people, and today I think we have an amazing and incredible architect and someone who's really making a change in the way homes are being designed, Neeti Makkar. Neeti, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Neeti has done a bachelor's and master's from two prominent institutes. She's done digital strategies for business from the Columbia Business School. More interestingly, she's pioneered the modular furniture industry in India. She was Entrepreneur of the Year, the Business Person of the Year in 2017, and she's the founder of Homemakers and Kits for Homes. Neeti, that's quite an incredible journey.
Really? Wow. Thank you.
Please do talk to us a little bit about the early part of your journey, and then I'll start getting into more specific questions.
So I, like most students graduating out of the school, joined the corporate initially. And because my parents wanted me towards, you know, in the finance segment, I did that.
Wow.
And I obliged against my wishes. So I did my master's in both marketing and finance. I have always been a marketing person. But I joined the corporate in the corporate finance for like about a couple of years. Then I said, this is not me. You know, 9-to-5 job is just not for me.
Great.
And I started teaching also at one of the MBA institutes. And somehow this entrepreneurial journey, I think it just was by chance that it happened. And then there was no looking back. So it's been a roller coaster journey so far. I've loved every bit of it.
And then got you started in architecture?
No, I'm not an architect by profession.
Okay.
But I did my interiors distant learning program.
Okay.
Because one, I'm a very people's person and I love to create things and love to design.
Yeah.
And I love to give shape to, you know, dreams to reality kind of a concept. So I used to help people off and on just like that. And my husband has a very different line of business, but we manufacture dishwashing racks. And a few of the prominent architects in the country had started approaching him to customize shelves and accessories for him. That's when I got interested in the concept. And then I traveled to Europe and I saw that. So it was pretty nascent even in Europe at that time. But it was almost unheard of in India.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky that when I started, I think I was the only woman entrepreneur into this industry at that time. And probably the fourth or the fifth company in the country to get into the concept of modular kitchens specifically.
I'm much older than you. When I was growing up, kitchens were not really the place where anyone invested any money.
Yes.
And today, kitchens have virtually become a showplace of the home. What has changed?
Everything.
Okay.
I would say, first and foremost, the mindset of people has changed. And why that has happened is women are more educated now. They're more financially independent now. So they have their say. I mean, in initial years, I remember clients would walk in and the wife would actually sit, you know, two steps behind. And the husband said, "Inse kya puchna hai? I am the one who's deciding and you tell me and you discuss with me and I need to pay for it. You know, and even being a woman, I would try to probe in and give her that due respect and say that let's ask her what she needs and it's her kitchen ultimately. Any kitchen, she would use it, that's fine, but I'm the one who's investing. So she really didn't have any say in the house. And kitchen was, as you rightly said, the most neglected part of the home. So whatever space was left in the house was actually dedicated to kitchen. But it's actually a role reversal now because women are working, they're traveling around the world, they're being assertive, you know, about a lot of things. And families have shrunk so much, people have such little time with each other that they feel that, okay, whatever cooking time also that they have, let's spend it together.
Yeah.
Husbands also help in the kitchen, you know, cooking or at least serving, or kids would come and sit down and probably do their homework while the wife is juggling between work and home. And while she's cooking, she spends that time helping them with their studies. So the concepts have changed, the designs have changed, kitchens have become more open spaces, more family spaces, more livable zones, I would say.
More like the West where the family meal
still
is in
not
the kitchen.
There. Oh. Yeah, still not there because our cooking is still quite Indian, you know, in terms of the spices and the fried stuff and all. But people are becoming more health conscious. One, there's more baking and, you know, more healthy cooking. People are more concerned about hygiene factors. So they realize that, yes, kitchen has to be spick and span and it has to be well organized. The servant issue is coming up. So, you know, that's a challenge we all face in and out. So they started realizing that, yes, we need dishwashers. Yes, we need, you know, more organized spaces where we can pick up handy stuff at, you know, just the raise of a hand. Right? So yeah, that's made a difference.
Yeah, even 30, 50, 20, 25 years ago, I would imagine, the refrigerator used to be in the drawing come dining area.
Yes.
And proudly displayed right next to your dining table. Now it's moved into the kitchen.
Yes. In fact, now a lot of people have started having two refrigerators. They've started having two kitchens. So even in the same kitchen space, there would be a back-end kitchen, which is for the cook in the house, where the large part of the cooking on a daily basis is done. And there's the front part of the kitchen where the lady of the house likes to flaunt. And she likes to cook. She likes to do the baking stuff and, you know, do that. The kids would want to get involved into some culinary experiences that they want to create with the family on weekends. So there would be a larger sink in the inside part of the kitchen, and there would be a small veggie bowl sink, or, you know, a small interactive kind of a kitchen which is done up outside. And yes, similarly, the refrigerator, there would be a side-by-side, you know, door refrigerator in the kitchen, and two of them. So one would largely have your stock of chocolates and milk and whatever, and the rest of it would have the ingredients
the
for
heavy
cooking.
Heavy-duty food,
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
Very interesting. So what role do you play in designing this very important workspace for the home?
So, yeah. So till date, I am involved with almost all my clients in the first stage. Okay. So I ensure that at least the first meeting is done with me, and I understand what their needs and requirements are. And of course, my team is very well qualified, and I've been lucky that I've had my team who's been with me for 10 years, 8 years, 15 years, 18 years. Wow. So yeah, it's a strong team that I have, and I believe in investing in people. You know, so I've held on to them. They have upgraded their skills, they've trained, but they're there with me. And we have a very systematic format. So we have a form where we sit and involve the client in filling the form.
Right.
And accordingly, then I hand over to the design team. So that first interaction is with me and the client and the designer, and then the designer takes over. And in all the correspondence and mails, I am always in the CC. So I tell the clients that, you know, the routine would be taken care of them, but I'm just a call away.
Interesting. And in your company, Homemakers, kitchen is only one part of the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also noticed that you're doing a lot of work with new bedrooms and closets and
yes,
cupboards. What is happening in all these spaces?
So as a company, we felt that anything which is modular, linear, we can manufacture. So we have a strong manufacturing base. I always wanted to have, you know, that roots should be very, very strong. So then it's easy for you to branch out into whatever direction you want to. Because see, you cannot have kitchen as a separate part of the home and the rest of the house looks very different. So once you understand the sensibility of a client and what they're looking for aesthetically and in terms of storage spaces, so we create all kind of storage spaces in the house now. So whether it's, if I get into the bedroom space, I talk about then the wardrobes, the TV units, the bathroom vanities, even beds customized with the same concept or look and feel that they want in the house. We do that all. But I don't do any of the loose furniture because I think that you can really go and pick what you, you know, like and choose.
So you must be then working with a lot of the builders, because if you're modular, then you'll need standard spaces.
Yeah. So we work with both builders community. So I have one division in the company which takes care of the corporate division, which is the institutional sales. So we've been lucky. We've done pretty early stages in life. We've done a few very high-end profile, you know, projects. If I name a few, I think Commonwealth Games Village was a feather in the cap for us. We've done JP Greens. We've done Lalakoon here. So a couple of other projects in, and worked with all A-listed developers repeatedly in last, I think, 12, 13 years that we've been working with developers. But retail is close to my heart, because that's something where I do an individual house and, you know, bring their dreams to life, to reality. So both their expectations are very different, and meeting them is a challenge in itself.
So someone can actually reach out to you and say that I want two rooms redesigned, and you'll take that up?
Yeah.
You will?
Love to.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. I thought that was, you know, a small project and you were looking at much larger.
I do. So a lot of times these kind of queries come to me through reference. And it's hard for me to say no. So I said, okay. And then, you know, people get to know what how your processes are, how your work is. So Touchwood today, I think 85% of my work is through reference and recommendation. So I don't really advertise, or I don't really participate in exhibitions any longer. We've been there, done that.
Right.
But don't do that really any longer.
Sure. So talking of modular furniture, I mean, I think the biggest player in the world is IKEA.
Yes.
And now they're coming in into India. Yeah. Two questions on that. Number one is that why is it that the entire design of modular furniture started out of Scandinavia? And then the second question would be, how are you going to cope with these big guys coming in?
Okay, interesting. So Scandinavian furniture is known to be minimalistic, simple, straight line, linear, which is very functional, you know, so no frills attached, no paraphernalia around it. It's a very functional way of working. And I think world is moving towards that. So while we have two genres of, you know, people in two segments, one who believe in very classic, high profile, all woody furniture, and that segment still remains, but that's minuscule. You know, the elite class still prefers the very nicely crafted wooden furniture. But the majority part of the world, which is like the dual income, you know, couple or running around from one place to the other, the middle segment, the mid-age bracket segment, they like something which is non-fussy, you know, so very linear, clear cut, and you can change things around it. And you can add on a lot of accessories to it without changing the look and feel of the entire house. So it works well with most of the economies in the world at this time. So I think that's the kind of furniture even I love doing.
And I guess that's also furniture that you can afford to replace after 5-6 years.
True, true.
Because, you know, you want to make a change in the way your home looks and you make a change in the
furniture. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And the second question, with these big guys coming in, you're one of the players. There are so many other Indian startups in the furniture space. How do you see IKEA disrupting the market?
So there are two ways of looking at it. You know, you can see the glass half full and half empty,
correct,
right, as you rightly say.
Correct.
So I would say it creates more opportunity in the market. It creates more awareness in the space that we are in. So sadly, even after so many years into the modular furniture segment, if you see the statistics also, it's still largely unorganized. So it's more than 75% of the market still is largely unorganized, right? So with people coming in like IKEA and other giants like that, it just helps create more awareness. And eventually, everybody has its own space. So I'm confident about the products that we have.
Yeah.
And I know the kind of personalized service and the customization with standardization that, you know, the balance that we can create. Very few people can do that. And since I've been into the market for more than 20 years now, I've actually known the pulse very well. So I know how the Indian customer and the Indian psyche works. And I, being a woman myself, I work in the kitchen too. I work in the house too. You know, so I'm not a techie guy sitting out there who's creating a platform that, okay, these 10 products and, you know, come and it's on discount or whatever prices that you buy it. But actually what is needed in the house. So we, the simple fact, if I tell you, in my company, interestingly, I don't have any marketing and sales people. I have all qualified designers. So because my focus has always been on the customer. So the moment the client would come in, you know, our forte is that we want to create something which is of value to the customer. So the emphasis on the customer, we're not product-centric company. So it's not that I have an X product and I want to just push it down your throat, right? So I would want to create what you need. So that's why there is no sales team, that there are no huge sales targets that they need to meet every month.
Interesting. So now staying with homemakers, you know, you have built this company into quite a formidable organization nationally. What were some of your learnings first when you started off and then as you scaled up?
So as you start up, you start with huge dreams and then realities hit you hard, right? So we initially, a lot of people approached us for franchise and, you know, to buy the products from us and all. We did make one or two franchises initially, but realized during the course of the journey that they were, most of them were making to quick money, right? And we are not a company which is like get quick rich scheme. So we like to create value for people and we like to create a brand which is sustainable. So our emphasis was very different. And then we started saying no to people. So I actually said no to a lot of people who wanted to take up. So the reason was that they would take franchise under our brand name and eventually start selling cheaper stuff. You know, so unless you have management also under your control. And for me, that's extremely important. Because every client walking out has to have the same uniform experience, you know, from the store. So we said no to a lot of stores that initially came up our way. And I'm happy with that. With whatever little brand value that we have, we are good with that. So now we're looking for partners who believe in similar philosophy, who want to create a long-term relationship with their clients, who want to create a brand name which is sustainable in the market. And not just, you know, that, okay, how much is the turnover and how much did we make in like 6 months and is it really profitable already or not? I don't want to make fake promises.
And you mentioned you have your own manufacturing facility.
Yes.
So therefore, you would then supply the parts of furniture.
So that's in fact my newer baby, which is about
Kids
to come
homes.
In.
Okay.
No, Kids for Homes, and there's another one which is called Pronto Componenti, which is going to be just components.
Yeah.
So it's going to be all cabinets and shutters coming in flat pack form. And the way you see the hardware market, how it has evolved, last 10 years, hardware, especially the imported hardware, was never sold off the shelf. You know, but now you have the best of hardware stores and they sell the best of brands, even the European brands. So we have a similar concept of mind, and we want to collaborate with a few very selective high profile hardware stores pan India who would want to sell the components, you know, per se as a branded component. Where again, like I said, the large market is unorganized. So I believe that rather than going against the flow of the market, it's better you understand the pulse and go with the flow. So, you know, there is that big carpenter market and would rather want to supply to them, right? They can just go with the client to the hardware store, pick up the cabinetry that they want to fix in. We will be helping them plug in the designing sensibilities. The warranties and guarantees are our responsibility. And the carpenter gets his kickback.
Yeah.
And he gets his installation charges. So for him, it's a no-brainer. It actually helps him improve his lifestyle. Because see, if you do a research on this, while a carpenter usually has a team of 4 or 5 people and he may get a house for a month and then after that, he may not get any for 2 months. With collaborating with people like us, he would actually get 3 or 4 or 10 houses to do in a month, you know, 2 days out to the next. And he gets paid off better. He needs a smaller team. And we are helping them with technical qualifications also.
So the question I have asked earlier also, but more specific, I'm going to clarify this, that most of us in India don't like standardization.
Right.
Right. Even when we go to a restaurant, we will pick up food item and we say, can you put a little extra slice of tomato or can you put a little less chili or something. You know, we don't just believe in standardization.
Right.
Something like furniture. Or closets or cupboards, where the only reason it can succeed well from your perspective is with the standardization. How do you manage customer demands? I mean, someone will want an extra door, someone will say, give me an extra shelf.
So we do all of that.
You do all that?
Yes. So standardization means that the basic concept in terms of the sizes is standardized, but all the inside inclusions are all customizable. So that's the reason why we fill the design form also. While I may sit with you and understand, okay, this closet is for your wife and she's at a certain age or a certain profile in terms of working or being a housewife, you know, so her clothing requirements or accessories that she would want to store is very different from maybe your teenager girl.
Correct.
Right. So I cannot give them the same solution per se, but yeah, when we talk about standardization, it's the total size that
the main box
about.
Would be.
Yes. Yes. So that would be, say, 2 feet, 3 feet, 1.5 feet. But then inside you want shelves, you want pull-out units, what kind of pull-out units, what's the kind of height and width that we're talking about is customized to the team.
So that must be quite an inventory nightmare you must be holding in your organization.
Yes.
So
but
much.
We've tried to standardize even the customizable items. So that's where our experience comes into play.
I'm sure.
And that's how we've calculated, you know, so there are about 105 basic standard sizes that we always have the inventory on. And then we add on the customizable shelves and drawers and fitments and all of that.
And you're now present nationwide?
So we are planning to go. But like I said, that see, we had two options. Either we open our own outlets. Now, each outlet costs you
a
hell of money and manpower. And we wanted to concentrate more on our, you know, manufacturing side and the retail outlet that we have. And spread our wings very slowly. So frankly, the reason why we came up with Kids for Homes was that I felt it was a natural way in which we can go national by entering the e-commerce segment. Not because it's a fad around, but because we know our job. And for us, it's kind of a natural parallel distribution channel that we create through Kids for Homes.
So coming to Kids for Homes, you know, what you are saying is that someone sitting in a remote part of India could go online and order.
Oh, yes.
The question I have for you is that, while once again, you know, having lived outside India for many years, one gets used to saying, I'm going to get a kit and I'll assemble it together myself. Are Indians beginning to do that, or will they call a carpenter and say, isko fix karo?
The first segment that you spoke about is actually minuscule. and only in very, very restricted cities like Bangalore and some parts of Mumbai, and I wouldn't even say Delhi, Gurgaon, somewhat. So just, you know, here and there, a very, very small percentage. So that's not the kind of clientele that we're looking at. But like you rightly said, the second part, the carpenters. So a lot of people in tier one and tier two, actually, if you understand their psyche, they've traveled the world. They have all the money that they want, you know, to spend. And they either travel to Delhi or the other metro city closer by to their city to choose a company. But everybody does not end up doing that. And they end up compromising. So even though they may want that finish, which is available globally, they have the money to spend, they don't have the inclination and the time to go to that city and buy something. So they end up hiring their carpenter who's been working in their house or their family, you know, for the last 10 years, 15 years. And they say, you make whatever you can. But that is where we plug in. So we tell them that you come online and we help you with the designing. We help you with, you know, picking up the modules and even fixated to the last mile that they can just go pick, drag and drop and pick and choose and finally pay online, right? Whatever payment method that they want. And they have both options. So either they buy the complete solution from us where our team of installers would go and install, or they buy just the kit as in the combination that they like, and they can call their friendly carpenter to come and install it. So he will do the installation, but all the warranties, guarantees and the finishes and everything lies with us.
And I think your point of differentiation from the IKEAs of the world will be where you said that you are willing to go online with them and explain. Right. That itself in a tier 2 or a tier 3 city will be a novel experience for the buyer and the carpenter.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to someone in Gurgaon and they're going to explain to me how to put together my what I've purchased.
So in fact, we have an app also which will be coming up soon where they can, it's a very menu-driven self kind. I mean, somebody not from an interiors background can use it. They can just put their measurements there and the size that they're choosing, and it's all menu-driven. So they just pick and drag and drop. And if they're doing a wrong drop, for example, they're trying to put an overhead cabinet above the cooking, you know, area, it will just not go there.
Okay.
So it would say that, you know, that's a wrong fitment. So we've done our plugins and check-ins there. So that's where we've used our lot of technology. So I also work as an AR and VR consultant per se to the construction industry. So I've used a lot of AR and VR in our concepts. Augmented reality and virtual reality.
Okay.
I've used that in our app also. And we've created an AR platform also for Kids for Homes, which will be plugging in soon.
Amazing. And Kids for Homes, is it now fully functional and rolling out products? Or are you test marketing?
Yes. No, we haven't really pushed it into the market yet. So we had been beta testing for a couple of months. Now we've gone live. But we haven't started full-on promotions yet.
Okay.
But already I'm getting at least about 40 to 50 people visiting the website almost every single day without doing a single day of social media marketing. But we would be doing that very soon.
And what are some of the items that I can buy from Kids of Homes?
Everything, right from a pair of hinges to drawer slides to just a shutter to cabinets to wardrobes to the entire room wardrobes or to the entire kitchen. So it's pick and choose, mix and match, whatever. So like, you know, somebody has a kitchen done up and they probably want to just add one pantry. No other modular company would do that for you. Whereas with us, you can just come online, order that, and it would be delivered in a flat pack form. You can just call maybe a carpenter from Urban Clap or any other, you know, such company who provides that service. And they will come and install
it. So if I want something as small as, you know, some hooks to put behind my bathroom door, I can order that from you?
Yes, if it's available in stock online, yes, you can.
Oh, wow.
So that's the whole concept.
That saves all the trouble of running around a hardware store and looking for something.
True. And then we've added a lot of built-in appliances. So again, the concept has been that what is not readily available in your city, you know, you can sit at home and with a click of a button, you can just order online.
Amazing.
So we're working with some premium appliance companies from Europe and premium shutter finishes that we've launched, which are otherwise not available in the city also. So it's not there.
So Neeti, 20 years, you know, running your own business, what is the secret of your success?
I'm very passionate about the work space that I'm in. So I think that's what keeps me going. Every day in the morning, I look forward to getting to work and adding on some value to myself. So I like to compete with myself, nobody else. I need to improve whatever I have been doing so far, so I have to be better than what I was a day before. That's it. So that's what keeps me going.
So I've got two more questions to ask you. One question I ask all my guests. What are your learnings from some of your failures?
Interesting. So when I launched Kids for Homes, I did a lot of work and research on that. And before I went live, I had collaborated with a lot of European companies. And we, in fact, had an exclusivity contract also with them. But a few learnings I would love to share is, I think before we went live and we came up with the product, you know, and we went to the market, I added on a lot of expenditure. So like I took a warehouse, which was like a huge space. I don't even want to talk about it. And I stocked, you know, the space with the material, the raw material, which had come in from Europe. So that was one expense. I took a nice office space in IT Park and I had my tech team and everybody there and we were, you know, working on that. So they were full-time employed. But that burns your own cash. And there were some tech glitches. So we were thrown back 7-8 months and we had to, you know, rework on a couple of things because I wanted this platform in a certain way. And I refused to compromise on that. So eventually we had to hire a tech team from somewhere else and work on it. But, you know, you don't take into account a lot of these glitches. And the financial implication is huge. And especially when you're burning your own cash, there's a limit to which you can do that. So I think that's my biggest learning, that, you know, use outside resources till the time you know that you're there and you're, you know, fully functional. So then I outsourced my tech team. I got done away with the warehouse and I shifted my stuff to my other company, you know, the factory space. So managed a lot of things around and cut down on my expenditures. And now I'm like, fine. So whatever sales we are now going through, it comes, you know, easily into the company. And you're not just ending up burning cash any longer.
You know, I've always also said that it's exactly what you said. And it's very difficult to earn cash. It's easy to burn cash.
Oh, yes. And I learned
in
it
a startup, you suddenly realize all your cash is gone.
Yeah, I really learned it the hard way. So, and then I realized that, you know, even the top companies today, whether you name Coke or Pepsi or whatever, even when they start any new flavor or a new brand, they always test market in a very smaller place and they don't provide, they don't supply the product in the market yet. So they first do the test market and once they see that there is demand from the customer's end, that is when they start their production,
absolutely.
You know, not that they would stock their warehouses with production. So that's something which I learned the hard way, but I would love people to take that.
So my last question to you, you know, you've done 2 successful startups, getting to your 3rd startup. Thousands and thousands of people listen to our podcast and a lot of them are startup entrepreneurs. What would your advice be to someone who's starting off?
Remain focused. Keep your dependency to the minimum because, you know, it's eventually you who will have to face the brunt, right? So I would say believe in yourself. Don't lose on your passion. Don't lose on your dream. But don't live in the dream world also. Okay. So you should keep doing your reality check and give a timeline to yourself. So it cannot be an ever, you know, ongoing process forever. Give, say, 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, whatever you want to, and then stick to that timeline. So if you feel that you are making some progress in that time frame, change, tweak as you go along. But if you feel there is no progress, I think there is no shame in accepting and move to whatever next best thing is available. But then there is nothing, there is no shortcut to success. So you have to work hard and you have to remain focused. Read a lot, visit a lot of these events and startup events and be open to learnings. People have lots to share. So be open to learnings.
Amazing. Neeti, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing Homemakers and Kids for Homes, not just as a national brand, but I'm sure seeing you outside India as well.
Pleasure. Thank
Good
you
luck
so
to
much.
You and all the best. Thank,
thank
you again
you
for
very
coming.
Much. Thank Lovely you very much. Lovely to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you and see you next week.